The following content has been provided by New St. Andrews College in Moscow, Idaho. For more information, visit us online at www.nsa.edu.
Hear the world calling, but some don't listen. They're only trying to drag you back into prison, that's right.
Welcome back to What Have You. I'm Rachel Jankovic.
I'm Becca Merkel.
And we have a special guest today. We're not overlooking Goodwill.
We're not instead, even in the car. We're splashed out so far that we're not even
We're in the darkness of a studio, rattling our iced coffees. And with our special guest, our brother, N.D. Wilson, Nate, as we know him. Nate, say hi.
I'm going to see if I can get through this without talking.
Which is not that like the not, dinners of say, our
that's,
youth.
That's not at all typical of our life. So.
Now, our typical life, the dinners of our youth was...
We'll see. I don't think anybody's going to believe you, given how much you all are about to talk.
That's...
it's going to be a quiet contest podcast. We'll see if the listeners break the silence first. And I have a weird allergy voice today, so sorry about that gravelly throat. But no, growing up, it was always dinner would the amen would sound at dinner.
That was the opposite.
And Nate
races.
Would be like,
no, all of us would be. Like,
we tried,
trying to get
but
in
he
first.
Won. That's just, he has Nate the competitive edge on storytelling. So he would tell some great story, and we would all finish dinner, and he would still have not yet taken a bite because if he took a bite, someone would edge their way in and be like, nope, now it's my turn.
Mostly urban mythology, but there's a grain of truth in it, yes.
And Dad would give us an order to talk in. We need someone like that in our podcast.
Everyone queue up.
I listened to part of one of our old ones, and it was a sustained period of time that Becca and I were both talking at the same time. Like, it must
you'll
be
have to a, be on your better behavior this
one
time.
One of us.
That's right. So today is the day, right? Or the day before?
The day before. Today is the day of the release party of Outlaws of Time, Dose.
Which
the
is...
The Song of Glory and Ghost. It comes out tomorrow, but we're throwing the big release party and
I think
all
Nate,
that jazz
just a
today.
Couple hours.
I think that this is the first time that you've written a book that I have not read it until it was published.
That's ridiculous.
I know. What, that I haven't read it or it's the first time? Which
Both.
Way is this
Both
ridiculous?
Of those
I loved it when you would email me chapter by chapter. But
that's actually a very panicky way to read a book because...
It is, because you're like,
you,
make it better,
you're
Nate.
Like
make it better.
In story grip.
Yeah.
And the author hasn't even written it yet. So.
But it was both not satisfying in that way and also super satisfying because if I would say... I was really thought this part was confusing or I needed or
you never
confusing.
Said nothing was ever confusing. So you would say like
you know what my
you would tell me
I
what you really maybe. Wanted to know. You would say I really want to know what happens with this or with this
yeah,
character.
Yeah. But
and I would say yes, I will drop something in about
yeah,
that
yeah.
later.
And that's the thing is that nothing's ever been so exciting in my life as reading it when it's published because
except I need to just
and
ask,
there was a and my input
pause,
was incorporated
though, to mention that he's an author and that he's written other
this
books.
This is our brother,
Andy
Wilson,
fiction,
author.
Otherwise, none of this makes any sense.
No, people aren't listening who don't know who I
okay,
am.
Okay, he
I
has
assume.
His, you have
right? I mean,
people
you,
who read
Lee
Rachel's
Pike,
book.
Yeah, maybe if you've never read my book. Okay.
She's related
so
to...
you guys have listeners? You have like a... I assume
did
we're
you
just,
know what's funny?
We're talking to our
I don't
children.
Think we've checked yet if we have listeners. We
so
have some listeners
we're assuming
who
that there's listeners.
We're assuming
to all
so
of you listeners
things.
Out there and to the camera documenting this.
And our cousin Dane, who happens to be there behind
our
the
cousin
camera.
Dane, who is manning audio video equipment. what was that,
wife.
Dane?
His wife listens
he has
to the
wife.
Podcast.
Okay,
okay
well,
but
Dane, hey, Dane,
I
we're not
forgot.
Editing this. This is not edited, so could you not interject like that anymore?
I forgot.
Dane said that his wife listens.
Chantel, I forgot that we
hush
have
for Lizzie,
a
just
video.
A second. Chantel?
Try and look more scenic.
I'm just
Hi,
talking
Chantel.
With you guys.
So I write kids' books. I write children's adventure fantasy novels. I occasionally am involved in filmmaking. And most recently, I am working on a brain tumor.
Yes.
So,
which is our
I think
least
that's
favorite
why...
project you have ever launched.
So I think that's why my sisters are inviting me to talk to them on
well,
the podcast. Reason.
The
is
only
because
reason at all.
It might be their last chance.
Oh my word. That's so horrible. reason you agreed.
It's actually because he's on book. He has a book tour for the next several weeks. Before we even knew about your brain tumor, we wanted you on the podcast as a special guest in the car.
But we were going to make you sit in the back seat.
And we had the brain
tumor, by the way, for all of you listeners, all of you many, many listeners, is named Steve. So if we refer to Steve.
Steve.
And how we're praying against Steve.
We dislike Steve intensely.
Praying imprecatory prayers.
Well,
hereafter referred to as Steve.
Okay, but speaking of this, one of the, Nate writes, you've written a bunch of kids kind of adventure fantasy. Is that how you would describe it?
Adventure fantasy.
All great. I love them all with my kids reading, but this is, if you want to know, so our parents teaching for years and years would say, whatever you teach on, you'll be tested on that. They're always like, mom would say, oh yeah, I'd be preparing some Bible study and realize like, here I am about to go talk to him about when your friends let you down. I'd be like, great. What's going to happen today? And so, but mom has a book on contentment that is actually being released the day of your brain surgery. And we're like, well, that's...
My mother is going to be in a waiting room. Person.
Yes, the most...
USC, at USC's Kreck Medical Center in their brain tumor specialist division, the fifth floor. And my mother will be sitting there the day of her book release on contentment.
On contentment. Mm-hmm. On Christian contentment.
Well, I'm having the left side of my head scratched.
You have here this little giveaway book.
Yeah, the bookmarks. When people pull quotes from my books, they always tend to pull.
So here's this one. I only get one life story. I don't want mine to be safe. I want it to be worth writing a book about.
Yes. Like, you. That is said by a young girl in Outlaws of Time 1, Glory Spaulding.
Right,
and of course, also Glory of the Song and Glory and Ghost, Outlaws of Time 2 as well. Glory's awesome. We like Glory.
Yeah, we do too. I do. But one of the things that I think is funny about it is that this has been a theme in a lot of your books and a lot of things. And it's because of your gnarly back surgery, really, that you wrote Death by Living.
I think it's
living.
All because my dog died. When I was in third grade. I think that's ultimately...
Tyler. You're sitting here with your sisters.
I know. And you say, my dog died. It was my dog. Did you guys walk the dog? No? All you guys did is leave the gate open. And that's why my dog died.
Bring up the old grievances from the
weight. I'm so glad we could get together to vent before the surgery.
My job is just, I'm trying to provide a little humorous through thread for your
sort
podcast.
Sort of a morbid through thread.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Although I did tell you when we first heard about Steve, I was like, yeah, it's like Stonewall Jackson said, my faith in God teaches me to feel as safe with a brain tumor as without one.
Or something like that.
Or something.
Or it was a battlefield. It was something. Yeah. But it is...
I just had somebody, I think today, because through various modes I won't get into, today is the day that everything leaked onto the great wide internet.
Yes, we woke up to finding out that the whole world knows and is praying about
your
brain
tumor. All went... Today I went viral on Facebook with Steve, and somebody was telling me, like, we're going to climb this mountain with you. We're right with you to climb this mountain. I was thinking, I don't have to climb. I'm sitting in a river. I'm going to go over the falls.
Yeah.
It's more like relax, just breathe.
Live, let God be in
breathe,
charge as he
realize
always is.
Realize you got signed up for this and, you know,
well, I
do
will
your
say,
best impersonation of some very peaceful driftwood.
Yeah. We were talking to our kids about it.
I'm working on it, but you're doing a better job.
No, you are. But talking to our kids about it, I was like, yeah, this is real. Because one of our kids was saying, every time I think about this, I just am going to cry. I think I'm going to cry. And we said, yeah, well, that's okay. You know, like, that's how I said. But we are going to behave like we want them to behave in this, which now I could go fill that out and say it's like a peaceful piece of driftwood. As a family, we're going to imitate driftwood going over the falls. But no, specifically, it's kind of feels like it's like getting called to war or something. It's like, oh, well, you're going, and how helpful is the family that stands behind and
panics
and cries and said, we wish you didn't have to do this. We wish God didn't put you here.
Yeah.
And it's like, of course, all of us would.
Oh, it's about to
that's
given.
Just being the Job's.
So the thing is, you know,
in a big way,
there's a couple things on it. Like, one is, you have, if you know what you know, if you really, if you know it and you believe it, then you believe it no matter what. There's not anything that's going to change that. So that it's all in scripture. It's all very simple. But if you can receive chocolate chip cookies from the Lord, then you can receive brain tumors from the Lord. If you can receive sunshine and air and, you know, water, then you can receive everything else he's going to do. Job, the day, there's so many stories I could tell about this whole process. I won't tell some of them because I think my wife should be present if I was going to tell a story about my wife. But I will at least that story. I will say that I woke up one morning, you know, 3 or 4 days after we'd gotten the news, and she was sort of awake and looking at me and said, "Well, I guess this is the chance to not be a hypocrite." I was like, "Yep, that's pretty much it.
Every day a new opportunity to not
hypocrite the situation." But it's you know,
whatever you do.
So the first night, I have to say, the first night I found out, I ended up with the complete fits and giggles around something. Just the whole situation was so funny. I was day of, a few hours after finding out, I was laughing my head off, and Heather was asleep, and I started reading the book of Job, and I was thinking, honestly, I don't even deserve to read this book. Yeah. Like, this is like, this book is so, so much heavier.
Oh, because so, Job is like, your whole family died, all your stuff's gone, and you have a massive skin condition.
Yes. And you got to scrape it with a pot shard. And your wife, incidentally, your wife is ready to just saying, curse God and die. So that's a real help.
She's not even on board.
Oh, wait. And then the support group. And then the support group shows up to tell you to repent.
Yeah, they're all saying, Job, hypocrite now. Hypocrite now, Job.
So, and when Job says, you know, shall we receive good from the Lord and not evil? It's like, well, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, it's a pretty simple concept.
Okay, but
I don't think it's that complicated. I understand that people decide to complicate things emotionally.
Yeah, it's emotionally complicated, not intellectually
complicated. Yeah, no, it is theologically simple. It is biblically simple. It is very simple to say, I did not volunteer for this. God did this. I woke up one morning on the back of a bull, and so guess what?
Yeah.
I'm going to ride the bull.
And also,
because I'm already riding the bull,
and
I can freak out, or I can actually try to stay on and
be fun. Right, and you say
fun.
You didn't sign up for this, but then it's like the thing that we overlook is we also didn't sign up for the pleasure of cold water.
Of breathing.
We didn't sign up for the pleasure of sunsets. We didn't sign up for the pleasure of all the things that we're like now going to cry that we're going to miss. Like, it's not like we optioned in all those good things that we were given, and now we're like, dang it, this is the one.
So we've
that
been
I
through,
want.
You know, we've been at deathbeds before, and we've been through hard things as a family, our family. So we have a nice little stress tested unit.
Yeah,
we've never done this.
No, but it's, you know, as far as like Heather's mom, you know, it's like we've gone up and down to California for you know the cancer visits and then the deathbed visits.
Yeah.
And this one is very, very different. And
it's not cancer. We should clarify in case anyone has not heard it.
Yes,
it's not cancer.
The doctors have.
But it's still very dangerous.
Yes. So it's I like to coin a phrase, it's killing me softly.
Which you said that, and now
you
I
should
had
write a song.
I've had that.
You should write a song about that.
The last week, I've been singing that song.
So not nice.
The nice
Actually,
thing is,
I kind of like the song.
It's so basically, it's
yeah,
a.
Forever affiliated with Steve now.
It's only lethal if we leave it.
Yes.
And it was also nice and fantastic to have doctors, various doctors in various places, give lethal advice. That was fun.
Yeah.
To navigate that whole situation.
But then you think.
But we're through. We're through. Like, we're up to, like, we know what we're doing. We know that we're throwing my left ear overboard. Like, it won't be there. And
I loved what you said about that.
And then we're going to go ahead and get this thing out and then party on.
What you said a couple weeks ago about that when someone was saying, but about your ear, like, how
aren't
do
you
feel?
Out?
Aren't you freaking out? Or how do you feel about the fact that you won't have hearing and you probably will have a high-pitched ringing in your ear, right?
Yeah, no, the odds are I'll have a fire alarm in my left ear for the rest of my life.
Which is kind of annoying of it
There's
to not
touch.
Just
it's
be able
touch.
To turn the thing off.
A tiny tip.
Turn that off.
I won't be able to hear anything but a shrieking in my left ear. There's
we'll
a chance.
Pray for that.
Yeah,
go ahead. We do
feel
pray
free
for it. We pray
so
for
so there's
that
a
one
chance that yeah, but somebody was probing, trying to be like, why is that freaking you out? Is it? You know, it's like,
it was like, how do you feel about this? And you said something I loved, which was, I've had this ear checked out of God's library for 38 years. It's like, so it's time to turn it back
like,
in.
It's like a library book.
It's like that was a great book. I loved having that ear, but I guess
you know what?
It's two.
I get to keep the other one for a little while longer.
I was going to say, you know what's so awesome is that God did give us two.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? There's
yeah.
that.
There's a spare.
Well, I think that,
nice.
I think that, what I loved about that though is someone saying, no, that's like the spiritual answer. How do you feel about this? And then it made me think about that the spiritual answer is how you feel about it if you're living in the spirit. It's like how you feel about it is that God gave you a gift.
A word I have for emotional people. here's a word.
Are you talking to me because my eyes got teary?
No. Here's a word. Anybody who's read my stuff knows that it's like I'm not stoic. I'm not, you know, the kids' books, from kids' books to Tilt the World to Death by Living. It's not about not feeling. People think there's a personality difference. They think, oh, I'm emotional. I mean, like, I have the feels, and
right.
you don't have the feels.
Right.
As opposed to you have self-control of the feels, which is a very different thing. And one of the things that people don't stop to ask themselves is, am I feeling biblically?
Yeah.
So right. they stop to ask, is what I'm thinking biblical?
Yeah.
Is what I am doing biblical?
Or honoring
biblical?
God?
Yeah.
Does he love this?
Sure. But even if you say, is this the biblical way to feel about this?
Right.
And there are biblical examples. So tons of biblical examples of people going through hardships, all the way up to, obviously, the biggest example being Christ, who's saying, take this from me, but if you don't,
right.
I'm in. You know, it's like, I'm in.
Right.
But take it from me, but if you don't, I'm in. And, you know, so that's the way we're supposed to be.
And the thing is, Job's wife was probably just really feeling that way.
Yeah, she probably was more emotional.
She felt like
so,
Job,
you know,
just die. Like, just
so for,
curse
you say,
God and die.
If you say, like, if I panicked, would that be a, like, if I got,
right.
or even... Forget the verb. If I felt panicky, would that be a biblical way to feel? And the answer is no.
I think it wouldn't.
I was like, it wouldn't be. So if you get put here and you're going through a trial, you're going through something heavy, and you know it's from God,
right?
Like you know it is.
Well, in some
then
sense,
there are biblical ways to feel and biblical ways to communicate to him about
it.
And biblical
ways
to.
I think the panic, though, could be another boulder ride. Like in the same way that,
yeah.
you know, like you... That's the thing you have to master. That's the thing you have to...
I think the panic, to be totally honest, I think the panic is the bowl throwing you.
Right.
The panic is the thing that's going to get
sometimes,
you thrown.
But sometimes people get a victory over that in a different kind of...
Sure, but I know you guys have female listeners, and so you're going to try to be sensitive to them, but I'm not going to be. So you're going to try to do that, be like, the panic is the bowl.
He doesn't want our listeners...
And I can say,
no,
I will say, no, if you are panicky... Sure, the temptation to panic is different. If you are panicky... Then you are being thrown.
Yeah, sure.
To be panicky,
sure, yeah.
Not to be tempted to panic, and actually breathing through
it.
And
goes
be
back
like,
to the Stonewall Jackson quote:
yes,
"If you believe God's in charge, you're not panicking."
So the temptation to panic is different than actually panicking. Now it is true I have not been tempted to panic in this, so I can't act like it's a great big temptation that I conquered. It hasn't really shown up. So. This last summer,
I'm gonna start praying.
I get a chance.
Suddenly, overwhelmingly panicky and emotional when you get to your surgery, throwing everyone for the biggest surprise.
Let me out. I'll do a mad gown.
I know
dash.
You won't. I was actually thinking of a friend who tried.
I'm not having it out after all. Leave it in.
I had a friend who was on an epidural and decided she didn't want to be there. Like she was getting really mental in her labor and tried to escape the hospital.
I'm pretty sure I could guess who that was.
Well, on an epidural.
Is she a listener?
She'll love hearing herself.
Hello, listener.
Yeah, but one thing, Lisa Leidenfrost said something that I thought was awesome recently.
Lisa Leidenfrost being the wife
of an elder in our church, and she's been through her missionaries. She's a very faithful, godly woman who does a lot of good in our church. But she said this about how when Peter, you know, walks on the water when he hops out of the boat to go see Jesus, and he's like, that he's... It's just really funny to think of the other things that are happening at that moment. Like, the people on the boat that are watching him have faith. Like, that are like, wow, look at him. Like, they're not looking at Jesus. they're looking at him having faith in Jesus. And then when he kind of, you know.
When a little thing happens known as sploosh.
Yes, then he falls in and Jesus doesn't say, wow, really good job, Peter. Like, you did more than I ever expected.
More
Jesus,
than anyone else.
He's not like, man, you did amazing. You did so much more for me than most people. He was like, it's like Jesus is like, Peter.
F. Yikes.
Yeah, but he's
wrong.
Like,
F.
I didn't go anywhere. Like, yeah. You just lost your faith. And it's like, I know, but it's funny that Peter gets kind of rebuked by the Lord, but all the people in the boat are like,
didn't even try.
Wow, look at his amazing faith. And then he's kind of, yeah, I just thought that was a funny. It's like, yeah, faith is not just continuing focusing on Christ, not on other people's faith, not on other, you right. know, it's like, anyways, I just enjoyed that. That's a funny. Yeah. Funny application of that. So basically, this is the next couple weeks of power.
It was book tour and brain surgery.
Yeah, it's busy, busy, busy. So we have a book release party tonight, April 17th. The book release is April 18th. I hit the road at 5 in the morning tomorrow, and I'll be back here for a total of
not enough
36
time.
Hours in the next month.
Oh my word!
Something
that is
like
so
that.
Not nice.
That is not nice.
But you'll be back to get your family and go down to California.
Yeah, so I do a sort of a glancing blow. I'm going to fly all the way back home from Ohio for church. And then fly back after. Well, I'll make it in for Sabbath dinner Saturday night.
Oh, good.
And then I'll fly out. I'll run from worship to the airport.
Is that this next Saturday?
Yeah, and I'll fly back out to Ohio after church. Because I was just going to sit in a hotel room and I figured, you know.
When is your Grace Agenda talk going to be?
Yeah.
I am not in charge of these things.
Who do we ask about that?
I don't know.
Dane?
Audiovisual department.
Yeah, the Grace Agenda.
Dane does not do that either.
Oh, you don't do it either. Okay.
That's a different division.
Well, I was thinking we need to find where your talk is. Since you talked about Job and since you talked about all of that.
This was the exact topic.
It was right after you met with your surgeon, but you weren't telling people.
And nobody knew yet.
Nobody knew.
Me, who cried through your talk, kind of.
See, I was laughing because so Marisol, Grace Agenda, your wife Heather was gonna speak, but then Marisol had her tonsils out, and then was like up their littlest was like not sleeping and having a horrible time with her tonsils out, and then Heather was just not having time or resources to get ready for her talk, and then Marisol was up all night, so. She had lined up right after you found out about Steve. She lined up a substitute, potential substitute for that talk. So we were like, no, Heather, it's fine. Called in. But I got the giggles thinking about at the Femina conference if Heather did get up there. Because she said, I haven't even really cried about this. And she's like, She's like, it's not that I don't want people. It's not that I mind being emotional at all. Well, I do. But it's not that I really mind that. She's like, but... I was like, you don't really want to have your first cry about this in front of 200 people when you're going to give your talk.
Because then it would have been a real cry.
She's
had some periods of sadness, but that would have been
a real cry. And I was like, the thing that would be so bad is if she got choked up speaking, that there would inexplicably be like 8 of us sobbing in the audience. And we'd be like, as a family, tonsillectomies just really affect us. Because you weren't telling people still at that point. I was like, the idea of us all being like, worst ever. But then you came and did your talk. You flew back in.
It was amazing.
It was great. It was and it was fun. I enjoyed that. But it tickled me because I almost expected you to just drop a brain tumor into
the talk. Oh, I
almost did.
No, actually,
because you were
almost...
like bringing up these random trials that a person may face. And I almost expected you to just... slipping on in there.
I almost just explicitly talked about it because it was like, whatever.
It's hard to
ignore
this
really,
right
I didn't
now.
Want to throw it out there publicly until we really knew what the plan was.
Yeah.
Where we're doing surgery, when, because I didn't need to crowdsource the research or the doctor vetting.
Well,
and today
also,
on the Facebook, I think I'm really grateful that that all the information's there. This is what I'm doing. This is the plan. This is what's going on.
Yeah.
As opposed to the mayhem. I mean, my phone's been vibrating all day with people suggesting other doctors as it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful.
And your kids,
like, oh, hey,
and your kids are doing really well. But
my
uncle
knows somebody who does these in Minneapolis or whatever. I'm like, we're good. We got the team.
We got it settled.
And I also wanted time to process it with the kids before they had to process it with classmates. That was the only reason why we weren't telling anybody. But now, it's out.
Pray it up.
It's wild.
Everyone, tell it to everyone now.
Yeah.
Everyone can be praying. We did once everyone in our church knew, people around here knew, I started, it was like, okay, yes, now our kids, now that people can bring it up at school, now that they're praying about it at school, it was like going through the things about the weird things people might say, and that's okay, and people do weird things when they don't know what, you know, like, people do weird things when they don't know what to say, so just brace yourself, and I was so glad for that, because they were all expecting that, yeah. Well, anyways.
It is all good, and it's,
Well, it's all good, I can say, because honestly, God is all good.
I'm honestly excited.
To move on.
I can say that. No. Yes.
To go through it? You want to...
I'm ready.
I think riding the bull actually seems like a perfect thing, because you're like in that, whatever that is, where the gate's still closed, uh-huh. where you're like wrapping your hand on the thing, you're like ready to go, and your adrenaline's like through the roof, and we're the people in the stands who know and love you and are going...
Face
I'm not sure I'm gonna be able to watch this.
We're a little bit white right now.
I don't think I want to watch this. And then their body life. There's the people being like, "Why is he doing?"
But see,
this?
I've gotten a lot of super like people just texting to let me know they knew somebody like this, but she was running a marathon within a year.
Oh yeah, and, yeah, no, yeah. Like, they're body, hashtag body life. Also, lots of positive feedback.
Tons.
The majority, the overwhelming majority, is people saying. Encouraging things,
win.
And every
but
now and then
I think it's
they
kind
sort
of
blurt. They blurt, but the blurts, blurt something.
But the reality is that the blurts are a gift too.
Oh
because
man,
we're all eating them up with a spoon.
Man, I gotta
like,
say,
oh, so
I gotta
good.
Say, they're some of my favorite. I honestly, some of my favorite conversations have been the most awkward ones. But the if you think about what exciting
they
means,
they make such good stories.
Oh, they do. Yeah, yeah. And then as far as exciting, it is literally exciting. Literally, and just like, okay, we're gonna do something gnarly, and mm-hmm. not like, oh yay, fun, we're going to Chuck E. Cheese. It's you know, it's like, it's
yeah.
exciting.
Well,
it is exciting, and I can say that also, even finding out about the brain tumor is great, because all the effects of the tumor are really, really very negative, and had been over time
right.
being very difficult to deal with, from just sudden just crashes of fatigue to the deafness.
To your hearing, yeah.
Yeah, to like November, the ear turns off. That kind of thing. And then learning like that there's a brain tumor plug ugly center in my head mm-hmm. sort of elevated my adrenaline baseline. So my adrenal glands started operating at just slightly elevated levels, not going up and down, just maintaining a higher baseline, which offset a lot of the symptoms.
Kind of
it offset the fatigue. It offset. I've been more productive.
It's like I have so much.
Yeah,
I have so much to do right now.
Yes. Yeah. So it's been the last 3 weeks that we've known have been some wildly productive 3 weeks. And before that, it was just such a bag of sand to carry, where it's just, and why is this happening?
That's kind of an awesome gift. It's
so,
like, I think one thing that I've noticed is you feel a little silly because I'm like, it's a brain tumor. It's a big deal. It's a big trial. But it's Christians. You're like, well, we know that God works all things together for good of those who
yeah.
love him. And we know that there's all this. So it's also good to be looking for the good that is already
yeah.
coming from it. And
yeah.
I've seen
like
it.
Like book promotion.
Yeah, but buy the book. Now
but
that
I
you're.
I also think, like, speaking of the book, though, the way you treat your characters in your stories. They're always in pain. They're always going
oh.
through something so
I
gnarly,
mean, this
physically,
this guy,
extremely
gnarly. On the cover, his arms were so broken that he had to have rattlesnakes put in them.
Yes. Just
but
to hold
the
them together.
Is, I just mean, like,
I love
that
it,
is,
actually.
That has
although,
always been a sort of a dominant feature of your fiction. And I feel
yeah.
like
but it's
you're
because it's a dominant feature
not,
of God's
yeah.
God's
yeah.
stories.
So one of the things that had always bothered me,
about
one
it.
Of the things that always bothered me in kids' fiction is that there's very rarely any actual physical consequences to amazing action. So
yeah.
you have big fights and then everybody walks off like they're not even as sore as they would have been if they played flag football.
Yeah.
You know, like if you went out and played flag football for a couple hours, you'd be more sore than
right.
Harry Potter is after, you know, fill in the blank, you know, some big
yeah.
mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, the physicality of the universe and the physical consequences of the universe and action, et cetera.
Well, I remember when you told me your idea for Sam with the rattlesnakes in his arms that I was like, nee.
Yeah, no, you were
like,
more like Gong Show. It was just like,
I just gotta say,
wrong.
I don't
no.
see myself
and
falling in love with that story. And then you said, no, it'll be great. And you told me, I said, I just can't see a way that I'm gonna be happy that a boy has snakes for arms. Like, I just can't do that. And you were like, no, I'll make it so that you're happy about it. And I was like, well, prove it. Go ahead and prove that
yeah.
to me. And then you did. I actually really like, I mean, like, you did. make it so that you were glad for Sam to have a naughty snake in one arm and a good snake. Well, it's not really naughty, but kind of.
Though, I have to leave in 3 minutes, so I feel like we always get to the end point. With
the recommendation.
And I think we know what that is this time.
Steve.
No, we don't
do not pursue your own brain tumors. By Outlaws of Time.
Yes. We recommend it so much. Actually, we have a copy at our house, which I have not read yet because
we do. You give us an early proof. Yeah. Got my kids have all read it.
Jemima got it for her birthday, which is awesome. But also with 5 children in the house who all hog it.
They hog.
It's very hard to get a chance. I might have to buy the Kindle version.
I'll tell you a secret. There's other copies available if you're going to spend some money supporting me.
I am. I'm coming to your
I've got to get home and finish baking the dang cookies for your dang book release party. No, not really. I have to make some cookies. But this, so this is our recommend. Do we have any others? Do you have a recommend?
First, Outlaws of Time 1.
I would recommend
if you're actually, if you are struggling in life.
And then my mom's book on contentment.
Mom's Contentment.
Which comes out in 2 weeks.
On May 2nd, while he's in the hospital.
I'll have some guys behind my head going zit, zit, zit through my skull. It's going to be so bad.
I'm going to have to order you those temporary tattoos of little safety scissors. I suggest, because I thought he needs a little dot-to-dot line on the scar with little safety scissors.
I think his scar will be gnarly enough with that dot-to-dot.
I'm looking forward to many, many... Well, here's the beautiful irony. Everybody to my left on an airplane is going to want to have a conversation after I have this... This very large scar encircling my ear.
What'd you do there?
And the thing that's going to be so funny is that's going to be my deaf ear. So I will draw them in with the scar on my left ear, and they'll say, hey, we should chat. What happened there? And I will stare blankly forward.
I think what we need to do is get you one of those little elastic tags with a little signage. You can just hang it on your ear with a little can't hear, warning, can't hear out of the ear.
I'll just be like, closed.
Yeah, closed.
Please use other ear.
Oh, my word.
Horrible. That's not a good recommend. We're ending on a bad recommend.
I love it. No. So my mom's book on contentment.
Yes. Would
be awesome. Coming May 2nd.
And I would recommend even though it's not.
And all of my books. All of them.
Well, Death by Living.
I'm recommending Death by Living. And Notes from the Tilted World. But both of those were things that people, like somebody said on when I posted on Facebook today, somebody shared in the comments, someone that I don't know, shared like she's been going through cancer and her cancer Facebook page is called like Amy's Death by Living Cancer something. Yeah. Like she was like, this has been a real blessing to me. And I think that is the thing.
Those are
nonfiction Christian. Yeah, they're wonderful. And everyone is going through some kind
of audiobooks available.
Yeah, everyone's going through some kind of trial. Like whether it's not this kind, but every human
the whole point of Death by Living is that you're all going to die. So it's one of those things that it's a nice little Christian nutshell.
Looking for our happy uptick.
This is the simple fact is human mortality rates are still at 100%, and everyone
just like always.
And everyone is going to have a death scene.
Yeah.
And everyone is going to live towards the death scene, and whenever it is, you can live well toward it, and you can die well. You can have a good and faithful and glorious death scene, or you can do one in which you're really shameful, you're hypocriting. So let's all prefer the non-hypocriting
option. Like we talked about earlier, you can have a biblical biblical death scene, or just a biblical. We're not really talking death scenes. We're talking trials.
But my point is, no matter what.
Yeah.
Everybody. So you could have the tamest life in the world, and yet you're living towards a death scene, and you have to get there with courage.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter if you are safe. It's like you're still mortal, and you're gonna have trials, and you're gonna have difficulties, and eventually you're gonna have death. And and at some point, all of us have to be able to face it with courage and faith in Christ.
Totally.
And that's it. That's like.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
It.
And
that or nothing.
That's what we have. All right.
Alrighty. Thank you all. Hey, listener.
Cheers. Thank you for
listener.
Doing
thanks.
This.
Cheers.
All right. Turn it off.
Yes.
Stop the madness.
Bye.
New St. Andrews College thanks you for listening.